Hello, and welcome into episode
158.
158. Okay. Very good. Very good. Very good, Sean. Yes, that is Sean.
Hey,
it's Bourbon Sean. Bad Opinions, where what we're drinking is slightly better than what we're thinking. And yes, no Chad, no Heather. Sean, though.
Hi, Sean's here.
And most importantly, this is very important, John.
Ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy.
I don't think that's true.
Well, you're critical to the
conversation.
You're critical to the conversation.
Because I was the third person who created the quorum that, I guess, hit record.
Technically, wasn't I the third person?
Yes.
Because
yes,
you two are already were here.
Yeah.
So see, yeah, Sean's the linchpin of this.
Okay, all right. I was just going to say, because the topic that I think that is going to be most talked about today, I think you are a important cog in that topic wheel.
You're dressed appropriately, sir.
Yes, you are.
This whole thing? I wear this all the time.
Yeah, right.
No, you don't. Excuse me, sir. The frugal Scotsman has entered the chat once again.
Well, we all survived the eclipse, so we'll just say that right out of the gate.
Yeah, that was a fun afternoon because we literally did not do anything. After about, what was it, 1:30,
mm-hmm.
Everybody got their glasses. We sat in front of the library and sat on the wall.
You didn't use the library glasses, did you?
God, no. I bought some because they had some rated ones like cheap on the Amazon.
So I guess that one of Sarah's coworkers had some of those.
Yep.
And they didn't use them because Sarah said she put them on like inside.
Yep.
And there was like a gap, like a 2-inch gap. And yep. Sarah was like, oh my God, I can see my computer through these. This isn't good.
Oh, wait a minute. So she could see regular light into
yes,
that
bed. Yes. Yeah.
So they were poorly made.
Yes.
Yeah,
and not only bad and like not protective to the degree they should be,
yes,
but then they were cheaply made knockoffs.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did hear that a guy that I work with, his son goes to Transy, and they gave the same announcement because I guess so. Somebody around here, the I guess the music man, the sunglass man, came through town and
eclipse,
sold them to all the schools
glasses
in the area.
Yes, right here in River yeah, City,
trouble,
sir.
Right. Right here in River City.
That's exactly right. Yes.
It was capital E.
It's yes, it rhymes with P, and it's an eclipse.
With a capital T, and that rhymes with E, and that stands for eclipse.
Eclipse. Yes, yeah, yeah. So I did think that was kind of funny that somebody actually had them, and she was like, "Oh yeah, you shouldn't use these.
You shouldn't use these." No, I bought mine like 2 months ago, and they had reputable pairs. I got like 10 of them for like $6-9.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
that's why I had them.
Did you all see anything?
Yeah, we saw it.
Oh, okay,
during the cloud cover, literally, we did not do anything for. Mm-hmm. We had no visitors in our research room. We just mm-hmm. sat on the brick wall out mm-hmm. there in front of the library and looked up, and people would scream, "Oh, it's out!" And you'd put your glasses on. And
see,
look up.
So okay, so this is an important point that I have been kind of actually since Hunger in Kentucky, harping on. I guess is the fact that after the eclipse. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the Google search for eyes are sore, why are my eyes sore, eclipse eyes sore, like went through the roof.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're not supposed to stare at it for 3 or 4 minutes. You're supposed to look at it, look away.
Yes, exactly.
Look at it, look away.
Exactly.
Those glasses aren't designed for you to stare at the thing for 4 minutes.
No. No, it's not. Like, the only thing that you could do that with is, like, if you get a welder's hood with, like, the darkest
well,
lenses.
Well, they even said that those weren't, you weren't even supposed to use those. Yeah. Huh. That's what I'd heard.
Well, I mean, those, like, a welder's shield is used for the periods of time that you're
right.
welding.
Yeah.
But that even is in short pops.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's in
you
short
know?
Bursts.
Like, it doesn't surprise me, but I'm not shocked that people will do it. Because that's you want to see the whole thing. Now, my question is, what did you think was going to happen? Because I feel like it was well covered.
Yeah. What do you mean well covered? Like, what, the don'ts?
Like, no, this is what's going to happen.
Oh,
and you
yeah,
should,
yeah.
Number one, you have to wear protective eyewear.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you really shouldn't stare at it. You shouldn't mm-hmm. stare the whole thing and
right.
try to record it in your mind because you're going to burn
are
your
you
eyes.
Gonna return, you're going to record in your retinas.
Well, that's true. That's true. You'll have a reminder.
That's another thing that kind of freaks me out is the fact that you can't feel your retinas or your corneas or whatever.
Yeah, there's
like,
no nerves in there.
Like getting burned up. You just know mm-hmm. it after you go blind.
No, there's no nerves in there.
That's crazy. Like, you would think staring, if they were burning,
yeah,
you would feel it.
They're like other parts of your body. Like, your brain doesn't have any nerve endings.
Yeah.
The pain that you feel is usually your skull getting cracked. Mm.
But I sat right in my chair.
So they can root around in there and do things, yeah, and test things.
And say speak or raise your left hand.
Yeah, and in many surgeries, like where you're doing that, mm-hmm, you have to map the parts of your brain, so you need to be alert during that process.
Yeah.
You don't want to be able to feel that.
No, and yeah. I agree. But, yeah.
Like, just, you don't want to be able to feel any of the, you don't want to be able to feel any of that.
No.
Yeah. I sat right in my chair. I noticed it got cloudy, and then it got dark like it was going to storm. And I was like, oh, I guess this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked out the window. And actually, I watched it on TV.
Yeah. It did get cold. The wind picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, there's a temperature drop. For like, here's probably about, I don't know, 5 or 10 degrees it dropped.
Yeah, because we had 93% coverage, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I watched the whatever CBS feed from Indianapolis. They were at the Speedway, and then they got totality, and they had a couple people on there that were ate up with eclipses, and yeah, this was their 7th one, and they were like, everyone is different. And I'm like, is it?
Here's the thing, people. They happen every 18 months.
Thank you. Thank
across
you.
Across the planet.
Yes. Yes.
If you have the money, there are people who do this.
Yeah,
who travel.
We talked about that in the last episode. Now, my thing, though, is, I feel like that the solar eclipse, lunar eclipses get the shaft. And lunar eclipses are super cool because you can look at them with your own eyeballs.
Yes.
You do not need special glasses for a lunar eclipse.
Less danger.
And you get better colors because it gets red and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's very, I think it's way cooler. Yep. Lunar eclipses get the shaft, but I do think lunar eclipses happen more often than solar eclipses.
They happen like 3 or 4 times a year or something like that.
They're pretty common space phenomenon, I guess. But yeah, don't stare at the sun, people.
It's gorgeous here outside Fort Lewis. Don't stare at the sun on a normal day.
No.
Now that's an excellent point. You should not stare at the sun, period.
Yes.
Certainly. I mean, it's not safe to do so on a regular day, on an overcast day, on a cloudy day, a partly cloudy day. It's not good to do that, especially not when something turns it on and off. It's a fireball. Don't do that.
Fire.
I mean, I guess the totality was kind of cool. I mean, it looked cool on TV.
Yeah, remember when was it, 2017?
I didn't do nothing for me. We went outside at work, and I was just like,
yeah, because we had totality here, I think.
No, we didn't.
We didn't?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I'm thinking about the one. It was close. It was like in the 90s again. I'm thinking about the one that was, I don't know if you guys, because I was working in Kings. I think you guys were in school.
Okay.
And that was in the 90s, and that was a totality because it got dark. Outside the
I don't remember that. Do you remember that?
Vaguely. I do vaguely remember that. They sort of all run together.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, depending on what, like, where you were or if you remember going and looking at it, I just, like, we should have remembered these, like, when we were kids. And I don't remember, I can't think of a time when it happened in school or something. But then again, the way that it's going, like Sean said, every 18 months it happens. Many times it's over the ocean, just by percentage of the land of the planet that's covered by water, or in hard to reach or hard to access places.
Yeah.
So that's where, if you wanted to spend enough money, like, I do think that might be interesting. If you were there and it was a more quiet, serene kind of experience, mm-hmm, that might be interesting.
In the desert somewhere.
Yeah, I think that might be interesting. Maybe somewhere less dye than the desert, but
ocean would be freaky.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be.
I was reading about how it ended a war. The eclipse ended a war in, I forgot the number now. It's like 625, 725.
That's
kind of
scary.
They all decided that everybody thought everything was in the heavens, and mm-hmm, they decided they displeased the gods. So they all put down their weapons, and then the son of one group married the daughter of another group, and they all came together. And I forget the dude's name. Sorry, he's been dead for a while now, but he predicted it. So then that fostered he was basically given the moniker of like the father of science when it came, mm-hmm, to that, because he was able to see, work out the process, determine what was going to happen. He predicted it. People thought he was crazy. Turned out he wasn't.
I mean, that's the wonderful thing about it. It's all math, folks.
Yeah.
Celestial mechanics is nothing but math.
Yep. Well, it's all distances and times.
Yep. Apparently, Spain's going to have 3 solar eclipses in 3 years.
Wow.
Coming up. So, yeah. So I guess if you want to see one, go to Spain.
Go there, eat some tapas, drink some Chianti.
That sounds good.
Yes.
There you go.
A destination eclipse.
Destination eclipse would be fun. That could be fun. Yeah. So, yeah, it's come and gone. We survived it. I don't know. I feel like that now the fourth seal has been opened. So we had the earthquake. We're going to have the cicadas, right?
Yeah.
We had the eclipse.
Double cicadas.
And this past week, I truly believe the fourth seal was open. Because
why, Carrie? Why?
Wow, what a weird week.
Do tell.
Well, it has to do with John's shirt that he's wearing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And before we go on, John, Starter was owned by Nike. And they sold,
oh, that makes sense.
They sold it in 2007.
So John is wearing one of
many.
Sean's not the only person with an archive.
That is, I have an archive.
Do you have an? You have quite an archive.
I do have, but you, sir, have an extensive collection and archive of Kentucky sports memorabilia, particularly many 1996 national championship shirts. How many do you think you have?
I don't count them. I just enjoy them all.
Well, because I remember after we got back from New Jersey in 96, and then they had the banner, the trophy print ceremony and hanging of the banner and all of that stuff.
Actually, I see a picture of it.
Picture right behind me.
There's several pictures in here.
So once we got back, we went to Kennedy's bookstore, and I bought one shirt, and I think John bought a cartful.
Quite a few.
And some of them still have tags on.
And they were probably, adjusted for inflation. They were probably, if I remember, t-shirts back in about $10.
I would say they were probably that 12 to 15 range at the very most. Yeah. If you bought the sweatshirts, t-shirts would have been like 10 to 12-ish. Yeah.
Well, and also at that Final Four that year, you bought a hat, I think, and a t-shirt, and I don't know what else you bought.
A mug.
Mug. That's right. You bought a mug.
You went whole hog, son.
Had a mug collection. Too soon.
So the reason I bring this up and the reason that John has dug out one of these shirts from the t-shirt tub upstairs is the fact that I guess Mark Pope is now officially the coach of the University of Kentucky men's basketball program. 1996 national, he was on the 1996 national championship
team.
He was
the captain.
Yes, for those who don't know. And Cal's gone to Arkansas.
Yes.
Very strange. Stuff started popping off on, last Saturday, Sunday, something like that?
Last Saturday before the final games, or Friday night, I think. The Athletic was talking about it. The discussion started Friday evening.
I personally didn't believe it was going to happen.
I saw it on Twitter Saturday night, and I said something to you
and I said
we were at B-dubs, and you're like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't believe it.
And then Sunday in the morning, it was Sunday evening. I started seeing more and more things, and she's like, "Who is that?" And I started looking. I'm like, "This dude actually works for a radio station in Little Rock. This dude writes for a paper in Arkansas. All these people are saying, repeating the same set of facts, the same kind of story." And I'm like, "I don't know."
The moment I heard it, I believed it. I had no doubt.
Really?
None.
Yeah, I did. It was just too weird.
Especially after that interview, they looked like they were in couples counseling. Mitch Barnhart and all that they did. That was just sad.
It was cringy.
I wanted somebody to blink twice that they were being held hostage.
That was a farce. You could tell the whole time. For me, it was the body language, like the whole time. And that we had, this may surprise people, but that's what you do, is you talk about this basketball program and the disappointments. And
Yes.
Now what happens? And this, the results were not what people wanted this season. Very disappointing. And then you get to the point where everybody's like, people became encamped. They were entrenched in this, he's got to go, he should stay. And then even of the camp that says he should go, you have to fire him or he's got to be forced out or something. Like it was all these, everybody was entrenched in their own sort of belief when it came to that. And that's what people talk about, because it's a big deal around here. To people that care, it's a big deal. But then when they did that interview, it was a complete farce. The opening statement was a lie. They
can't stand each other.
It's clear they couldn't stand
each
other. If that
camera wasn't there, there would have been a murder in that office.
And it was obvious to me, the body language was such that they were not on the same page. They sat there. Cal said the same things. Barnhart forced him to answer questions. He would toss it to Cal and be like, why don't you take that one? And it was never going to work. And you and I had a conversation about it. To what degree do you think 13 months from now we're sitting here and this has worked out? By worked out, define that however you want to, whether it's wins in the tournament, a Final Four, championships, whatever. And I told you then 10%, because old people don't change their
attitudes. No, and they're both old.
They don't change their activities. They don't change the way they approach things. You can say, I want something new and different, and I'm going to do better. You invariably slide back into your old patterns. In 13 months, he was never going
to
do that.
Well, and you went down to 0% when you found out he was keeping all of his assistants.
Later, because we were told that that was part of it. Then later when they said he's going to keep the staff, I dropped to 4%.
4%.
I never got to 0 until he wasn't in the position to have gotten 1. But when it got to, when I heard he was bringing back the whole, that bunch of rum-dums, it's a halfway house of has-beens on that bench that did nothing but steal money.
Because he ran off the basketball brain, who's now a scout for the Spurs, I believe.
It is true. Mm-hmm. It all goes back to that. In terms of the post-mortem on the end of the era, which was not, I mean, it's not what anybody wanted. Nobody wanted to be in a situation where you weren't winning as much. And I would say people didn't want it to end like that with Cal. We had 10 tremendous years.
And 5 shitty ones.
And some amazing basketball, the highest of highs. Toward the end, it got bad. And I know people think that Kentucky fans are crazy and they'll go nuts and they forced him out and you drove him to do this, that kind of thing.
No.
I get that. You can think whatever you want to think. But I would dare say if you have that opinion, I'm not sure that you were near this and you really saw as much of it as it happened. There became a point when he consistently talked down to fans. He was condescending. He told people you care too much. He told people to not worry about it, just sit back and not worry about it. Then the shell game started where we're built for March. It's all about March. It's all about the tournament. And then when the tournament, and I'm not even talking about this year, then when the tournament didn't work out.
5 years, people.
And you've told us that the SEC tournament you don't like, so you didn't focus on that. You focused on the real tournament. Well, then when that tournament doesn't work out for 2 years in a row, then you start to say, that was the year that he said after they lost St. Peter's, he said, it's just a shame that this team's going to be judged based on one game when we had such an incredible season. So then fast forward 2 years, the same thing happens again. And this time you start to tell us, don't worry about midseason losses. It's all about the tournament. Don't worry about the SEC tournament. It's all about the tournament. Then when we're built for March. Then when you lose that one, you start to say, they're freshmen. You never know how they're going to react. You built 15 years on freshmen. You created this scenario. You made the bed. You literally built the house. And then you bitched about the place you live. It's disappointing. They had a lot more upside, they had a lot more promise, and that's, I think, the thing that really got people to the point where it was bad. I stand by the fact that I do not believe one of Cal's biggest issues was he eventually cut people off. There was nobody left to tell him that the emperor has no clothes. There's nobody left to tell him this is what fans think. The athletic director is not concerned with what fans think.
Certain fans.
Well, I would argue any fans. But then when he comes out and says, we're coming back, the outpouring was so negative that there are widespread reports that both the athletic director and Cal were taken aback by just how many people, just what a large preponderance of the fan base was very upset with him, his performance, and the choices they both made. And it was never going to last. The both of them couldn't stay.
The Arkansas thing is just, I mean, and I guess because he's big friends with that Big Chicken.
Well, I mean, Big Chicken, that's Kyle's life. He's built his life on deep friendships. And that was like the start of his downfall when he ran off one of his oldest basketball friends who told him that he had no clothes. He sent him packing, and that man had a rough life. His daughter died.
Do you know the story on that? Because nobody's ever, and we're talking about John Robick, who was basically Like, he was the heart and soul of that.
He was the basketball brain, and and he was also the soul and the father confessor of the program.
So, but nobody, no one, not media, no one has ever said what happened.
Knowing what an egomaniac Cal is, he probably come in one day and says, "You're doing this wrong." It's probably as simple as that.
And nobody's told the story, which probably means it's something personal, but probably Sean's probably not wrong that it's something as simple as that. If you once Cal announced he was going, you started to see all these videos on Twitter where it was people that left the program. And then you looked at just how many people did walk away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, you had one kid went to work for the blood center in town. One person went to go be on the bench at Duke. One person went to go do the NIL at North Carolina. That kid grew up being a huge Kentucky fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was his dream job to work there. But all of those people, Cal burns with an intenseness that is, those close to him have said, if he wants to do something, if he wants to talk, you drop what you're doing and you talk. You're never off. You're always on. Doesn't matter the time of day. If he wants to talk, he's on the phone. He calls you. You answer the phone. And he that's the sort of thing. It's he burns so hot that it burns people out. And I think that it's as simple as that. I mean, everybody's been in a work scenario or school scenario where it's a very intense situation, and there's... In this situation, I think it was as simple as that. It's mm-hmm. he gets what he wants when he wants it. You're there to do that. And if you can't meet those needs, he'll find somebody else that can. And I think that's as simple as what happened. Now, the fact that he's a long-term friend, that to me seems much more deep-seated. And I find it really hard because that's not the person that we know from the 15 years he spent in Lexington to turn his back on or to put somebody in a situation when he is undergoing such a traumatic event with the health of his daughter and her ultimate passing and that kind of thing. Like, that's really weird to me. And I don't know 100%. I should say I don't know 100% about the timing of that. Was it before that, after that? I don't know. But he was one of three people that left in that same time frame with Kenny Payne and Dwayne Peavy. And
Orlando.
That's what did it.
There were four who left.
That's
then.
What did it. The whole thing.
Oh, yeah, Orlando.
Orlando went to
Antigua. Well, left. Yeah.
He had that recruiting violation and had to scurry back.
Yeah, you at South Florida, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the four people who traveled with him from the end of UMass to Memphis.
Mm-hmm. To here.
To here.
And they went everywhere.
Yeah, they went everywhere.
And that's the thing, is that essentially created a scenario where he was isolated. He continued to isolate himself. He didn't have a good relationship with Barnhart. The boosters, for the money they were putting in, wanted more access. The football team started courting. The football coaches started courting them, started giving them the things they wanted. Cal wasn't interested in doing that, so then the money dried up. And then there were some tipping points with individual boosters that caused some issues. But in the end, you're sitting there with an athletic director who, when you say you want something, he says, "You got all that you need." The football basketball comments, according to an article that was surfaced, that comment ended any relationship they had. The football team, the football coaches came to despise the basketball coaches and vice versa.
Which is a first in the history of UK basketball. Since Bear Bryant. It's second, I should say.
It's like you. When you look back now, you wonder, how did it last this long? And I stand by my statement, there's no way this was ever going to get better. It had no chance to get better. A separation had to occur, and
this was the best.
Cal did, honestly, a huge favor to UK, because now you don't have to pay $38 million.
No, as the orange bald man says, the answer to all your problems is money. And that's the reason that we owed him $30+ million, Barnhart was going to put up with a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the people who are rich enough to write a check from it out of their pocket,
they weren't going
to
do
it. They hate Cal enough that they were never going to do that.
They were never going to do that.
And they said it.
Yeah.
Because it's come out since. Every one of those boosters said, we have money for the next, for we have money for your NIL fund, but not for this coach. We'll be there for the next one. That's why when this was announced on Friday, $4 million goes into the NIL fund.
And honestly, Emil mysteriously just
And that's
up.
From mm-hmm. one or two people.
Mm-hmm.
It's
probably from one person.
One person with
it starts with a C.
Mm-hmm. Shush.
And he built a brand new gym about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But I mean that's the way that it's unfortunate. Nobody wanted it to end this way, but everybody's going to be better off for it, because I think the longer Cal stayed in this situation, the more time passed between the success and the bad times, the harder it would have become for him to leave with any sort of good feeling, and the longer it would have taken to get back to any kind of good feeling. And I think that only hurts long term. It only hurts him and his legacy here, because it wasn't getting good.
No, it wasn't.
Well, did you watch the Arkansas press conference that he had?
He didn't call the Hogs. He ran off the stage.
Yep. That's the only reason we watch it. And first of all, it looked like some kind of Inside the Actors Studio thing.
Yeah, I think it was at the airport.
No, was it Bud Walton?
Was it Bud Walton?
Yeah, was it Bud Walton? But he sat down at a table with the guy, and it was like it almost felt like Inside the Actor Studio. And then I've never seen a man run off stage that fast, because
it was
so
vintage count.
For those people who don't know, when Arkansas hires a new coach, at the end of the introductory press conference, the coach always does
leads the call the Hogs.
Whoa, pig silly. Okay,
the coach is the new coach is forced to lead the call.
Either way, it's horrifying. It's known that it is done. Yes.
I'd much rather do Rock Chalk Jayhawk than that shit.
It is understood.
Pig suey, whoa, pig suey, whoa, pig suey, Razorbacks. You have to do whoa, pig suey three times. So no, he basically said, and you could hear the audio, and he said, I'm gonna go down here and say hi to all the other coaches, and just basically ran off the stage. Was not gonna do that call to Hogs in front of people.
Grabbed
wasn't
hold
gonna
of
happen.
That rail where the stairs were, went past his new boss, mm-hmm. and said, "I gotta say hi to these coaches." Went down there and told some old man some story about JV volunteerism until it was over, and then turned around. What? Where
let
are
me
we
tell
now?
You, oh, the old boss, same as the new boss.
Right. So then
don't get fooled again.
So a couple days later, a video surfaces, and I'm pretty sure John discerned that it was more than likely it was backstage, because
it was.
Brad Calipari was wearing the same jacket that he was wearing at the press conference of Cal doing the pig suey. Like, they're showing him how to do it. Somebody's showing him how to do it, right?
He ain't doing that.
And
shit.
No, so he does it. He's like, okay, pig suey. And then he does it a second time. And then he's like, after the second time, he's like, okay, there you got it. And they were like, no, you have to do it three times. And the look on his face, and he's just
it's priceless.
Like, he's just like, oh my, it was so cringe.
It's priceless.
It was so cringe.
They corrected him because his fingers weren't moving enough on the first one. They're like, oh, you gotta
spirit fingers.
Wiggle your fingers. And it's priceless. I will go to my grave having watched that.
Cal is just family.
You had that on a loop.
I'll probably watch it when I'm done here.
It's craziness.
Warms my soul.
But the thing that I did find interesting is, I think somebody said this, that it was on Twitter or something, that basically Arkansas fans would give their firstborn up for another championship in football before basketball.
Basketball. Oh, yeah, they would. And here's the thing. They've not had a basketball or a football coach since Nolan Richardson was there.
Yeah.
With Corliss Williamson, and he beat Duke.
Yep.
And the closest thing they had
94.
Yeah.
Bobby was doing well till his unfortunate motorcycle accident.
Oh, you mean
if you believe me.
He tripped and fell into somebody's fist?
Multiple times. And then Musselman had him doing well. They were in the regional final, and then he bails. So it's...
Because he knew he couldn't
Cal
get
went
what
to
he
a football
needed.
School.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. So, we'll good luck to Arkansas. Well, so then the search...
I did enjoy their video, because I watched the whole thing. Mm. Their whole great value presentation, it was all Kentucky stuff.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, like, it was.
I was like, you really didn't even...
And you know,
you could have plucked out highlights against
Arkansas.
The teams, because they played a number of times. Arkansas's won sometimes. You could literally have chosen highlights where your team did something and beat him.
And did you notice that the picture they used when they announced him... was a colorized jacket.
Oh, yes.
From UK. They had changed the color to red. Yes. I says, I know that jacket, and that jacket's not red.
Yeah. Yes, that is that awful plaid jacket that some people hate.
I hate that jacket.
That you colorized red.
Yeah. So now, then UK needs a new coach. So, of course, all the rumors start flying. Who they going to get? I think Barnhart really did want Scott Drew, but I think Scott Drew's family got freaked out.
No, because they are simple people, and they like being in Waco.
But I think it freaked them out.
No, it did.
A little bit.
It freaked his wife out for sure, because, again, they're simple people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for you folks who don't know, Scott Drew, brother of Bryce, son of Homer Drew, who took Valpo, two Final Fours or something?
Beat Ole Miss in that. Yeah.
And two deep runs into the tournament. But a lot of the Drews, when Scott was succeeding at Baylor, they relocated to Waco. So the whole extended family's there.
Mm-hmm.
I think even Homer lives there now. Mm-hmm. So it's like our whole family's here. The
it's
fans,
almost like a compound.
It's all right. Wait a minute. We're not saying that name, sir. I don't want the ATF knocking on my door tonight because we saw what they did last week. Okay?
I said almost.
So I'm not surprised. I know the relationship between he and Barnhart because they're like active in FCA mm-hmm. and whatever the adult
right,
version
the,
of this.
Christian athletes.
Yeah, Fellowship of Christian Athletes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so when Scott Drew said he was going to go home and pray about it, I wasn't doubting him. I said, that's him.
Yeah.
But I think his wife got freaked out. If you've not been to West Texas, it's nice, but it's a certain kind of place. Mm-hmm. And Waco compared to Lexington is like a metropolis running over, even though I think Waco may have more people. It's just it's spread out.
Spread out, yeah.
You know, traffic jam might be three cattle.
Yeah.
As opposed to this. So yeah. I have no hate, no empathy in my heart. I would have loved to have had Scott Drew because he can't coach. Mm-hmm. He's been at Baylor, 20 years?
Yeah. 21 years. Mm-hmm. 20 years,
and he's paid his dues. And this probably would have been close to his retirement job.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, I'm going to stay where I is. And we know Chip and Joanna Gaines probably kicked in a little bit more money to bring him back. Chip Gaines was a baller.
Are you familiar?
Yes.
He was trolling
mercilessly.
Yep. It was incredible.
That was good. So.
Well, and I don't think if Dan Hurley had accepted the job, I think obviously the fan base would have been divided on that because there have been people that love him, but he's an in-your-face, you know, F you, I don't care what you think.
He's a combination of Rick and Cal.
He's a loudmouth Yankee.
He's a loud, but he can coach, unlike Cal, and he's got Rick's attitude.
Yeah, but I think he would have really rubbed some fans the wrong way. I really, really do. Even winning, I think people still wouldn't have cared for him.
That was one of Rick's biggest problems. People talk about all the time how abrasive he was and how abrasive Mrs. Pitino was.
Oh, she hated it here.
And she hated it here. And, you know, I think when he left town to go to the Celtics, there was a rumor that she owed something like $30,000 or $40,000 in parking tickets because she double parked everywhere like she was in New York City.
She just set her down.
She just set her down. And the cops knew her car and her license plate.
Uh-huh.
And it got to the point they wouldn't even ticket it. They would just note it.
Well, and along those lines, too, I heard a rumor that she got pulled over several times.
Allegedly.
I said a rumor. I said it was a rumor.
He has lawyers still.
It was a rumor.
Allegedly.
Other infractions. We'll say it like that.
She got the Eddie
Sutton. Other infractions.
She got the Eddie Sutton treatment. That's what I will say.
I wouldn't doubt that.
And that's, you know, Eddie Sutton, that's facts.
No, it is facts. Billy Clyde is facts.
Facts.
Billy Clyde accidentally up get a driver.
Yes, facts. Anyway, so and that Donovan thing was weird to me anyway because that guy's been so far out of college for so long, and the game has changed. The way you recruit has changed. I didn't like that.
You know what? That's a holdover. That's a holdover from the Rick Pitino era.
It is
because everybody was assuming he was the appointed successor from Rick Pitino.
Right.
He played the same kind of ball. You know, he's younger than Rick. He's going to be here and going to keep leading us to the promised land.
And it didn't work. It never worked out.
Because, again, the Donovans are private people. One of the reasons the second time UK offered and he didn't do it is that his youngest son's autistic. And they had a caregiver who the son loved.
Oh.
And the caregiver couldn't move or wouldn't move from Florida.
Hmm.
And so, now, of course, she's going to stay.
Sure,
if he had moved after that, I would have said, oh, God, I don't want this man here.
Yeah, that would have been, yeah. Huh, I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah, so that was one of the stories. Okay. So, again,
it's interesting, as much as fans, so when people take jobs like this of that caliber for that amount of money to live in the spotlight and in Kentucky live in this fishbowl of an oversized small town, it's funny how much you think, well, there's no way you wouldn't take that. Well, he's going to definitely take that job. And then when the truth comes out, not that it's any of our business, but when the truth comes out, it's something basic like that is true of many people. Just
most of us would do that, yeah.
Like, I can't, somebody's got to take care of my child. So in Scott Drew's case, I'd have to move my mother-in-law and the rest of my family. My kids are seniors in high school. Like, do I want to uproot them and bring them seven states away to a different town?
When they grew up in that town,
they only know West Texas. Like, it when you realize that, and the fact that it's easy to separate the fact that these people are real people because you see them on TV and you mm-hmm. see them doing all that kind of stuff.
Well, and they're making millions of dollars. Yeah.
Well, you know, you bring up the problem, as I perceive it, with the fan base of Kentucky, is that they don't perceive these as real people.
No.
They perceive them as their playthings. That are here to do their, we paying you money, you're to dance for me,
we're
monkey,
paying
dance.
You $5 million. Yes.
You are my dance, monkey, dance.
Yeah.
And they're human beings who have lives away from the, when mm-hmm. we see them for 8 to 10 hours a day. So
they're bigger than life, and it's in the end they're just people with the same or similar problems
mm-hmm.
That they just may have enough money to pay somebody else to take care of.
Yeah, that's true. So we go through all of that rigmarole. Did you all have Mark Pope on your bingo card?
Nope.
I certainly did not.
I did not. I didn't know who we were going to get, to be honest with you, because
let me put a pin in that real quick.
Okay,
because this, when all this cow stuff happened, I got such Tubby deja vu.
Oh yeah,
from 2009 when all that Tubby stuff it was almost the exact replica where, you know, Tubby was beloved and then Tubby didn't do so well and then the fans are like, nah, he gotta go, and then Tubby was like, well, I'm going, and then people were like, what? And then we got Billy Clyde.
Word.
It was exactly that. Some of the details that come out, it was 100% that.
Yeah.
It was, Tubby was eaten up by his own success early. Tubby ended up in a lot of regional finals where the ball didn't bounce his way,
mm-hmm.
and had they done so, it would have been different.
Oh yeah, and unlike Cal, Tubby can coach. He couldn't recruit.
Tubby was an excellent coach.
Yeah, he was a grown ass man who lived through segregation. He wasn't going to go around and kiss mm-hmm. ass to these children.
Yeah,
and Tubby, so that's the reason he couldn't recruit. But he could coach. He could X and O the hell out of it.
Mm-hmm. And Tubby was an in game adjustment.
Yes,
Tubby would sit there and he could do that, and that's what got him. That's what ended up being his downfall, was the regional finals that didn't go his way.
That one where Keith Bogans got hurt.
He turned an ankle.
And what's his name went off?
Dwayne Wade
went
but
off.
But Larry, it was a turned ankle.
Yeah, it was a turned ankle. And he tried to go.
And you can't control a turned ankle.
No. Nope. I think if Keith Bogans would have been 100%, if Keith Bogans would have been 100%, they would have won a game.
That would probably be a national championship year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 2003, they would have.
And the year after that was a year that Chuck Hayes and Eric, what's his face?
Bledsoe.
No, the tall Eric.
Oh, Daniels.
Yes. Who were like the number two duo, internal duo. They were cutting people apart with their passing.
Yep.
And I forgot what happened, but it was another freak thing
accident
that happened when they were making their run.
Yeah.
I think that team sweeped the SEC regular season.
Yes. They did. Because that was Cliff Hawkins, wasn't it?
Yeah, Cliff Hawkins. Yeah. And they won the tournament.
Well, no. Gerald
Fitch.
So that was the year that in the first round of the NCAA tournament, we played.
They played those twins, UAB. Squeaky.
UAB, but Nolan Richardson was there.
Oh, yeah, because one of his lead assistants was the coach
at UAB. People were saying, yes, Mike Anderson, who lost his mind at Indiana.
No, Mike Davis.
Mike Davis, sorry. But people were saying that Nolan would basically.
It's not people. I said it. Everybody said it.
Okay, gave him the 4-1-1.
He sat back there, watched the practice, and then he'd sit in the stands and tell him what to run against
Kentucky. Because Tubby and Nolan were big friends.
We're friends.
Yeah.
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 And then didn't Mike Anderson end up going to
Arkansas.
Yeah, and didn't
they
do
ran
well.
Him off.
Yeah,
add him to the list. Off. John Pelfrey, add him to the list.
Yeah. So Mark Pope's now officially the coach. I mean, I want it to go well. I really do. I really honestly do. I just hope that if it doesn't go well, that there aren't hurt feelings on all sides.
Well, you know, they write me that check for $5 million. They could hurt
5.5.
They could hurt my fucking feelings. What do you say? What say you, John?
And I did not have him. Once you knew that they'd gotten past the celebrity list, that top tier list.
That comes out every time UK has an opening.
Once you got past that, then I think it was widely known. It was going to be the net would be cast wide. It came out since that they made the decision not to contact Bruce Pearl, Chris Beard, or Sean Miller.
You can't because of our athletic director and his outlook on life.
Well,
and those three have a past history. They are wonderful coaches, wonderful recruiters, but you can't. You cannot bring them
down. That you don't. Like, you don't want...
You know, the ghost of Sandy Bell is still looking at the program.
You got that right.
Yes.
And in some cases, it's even off-the-court stuff. Yes. You don't want that. No. You don't want that here. That you don't... I don't think you want
We've
that
had it.
And Sean Miller sucks.
Yes.
So...
We had the off-court stuff. And look, here's the thing I was hearing all week. Everybody who's been a successful coach at UK was not a drunk.
Oh, yeah.
You had great, good drunk.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah. You know what? I never thought of it like that, but you are 100% correct. Right. Mark Pope is a Mormon and don't drink. So,
hey, we might be in for something.
You know, we may change that pattern.
Well, if you look at the pattern, so you go from Rupp to Hall to Sutton. So you had great good drunk. And then you had Rick to Tubby to Billy.
Great good drunk.
And then Cal was here long enough that he was great. And then you got 5 years of good.
Yeah. Mm. So is that,
but he's not a drunk.
No, but see, that's my thing is. So if you the pattern has been great, broken. So then you put Pope in the good. So you're probably going to get 8-9 years out of good.
And maybe
which I'll take.
And I'll take a championship.
Yes.
Because unlike most Kentucky fans, even though I fill out 2 or 3 brackets a year, and one of them is always the homer bracket.
Well, yeah.
But it's not the one I really bet.
You ain't going to win anything.
Yeah, you ain't going to win anything. No. So if we get 1 or 2, and it's like however long he's here, 1, I'm happy. Because it's the reality of NIL and the transfer portal. Whole different game,
and so if Pope fills that
gonna be the good, drunk?
I'll sign up. I'll sign up to be your drunk.
You know what?
If you need me to break the pattern, I'll do it.
I think Bobo could be the drunk.
There you go. We're in.
We're in. With Rob.
I don't.
We
care.
We will split that 6 ways.
I don't care who gets the head coaching job. I will be an assistant for $2.2 million.
Thank you.
That's all I care about.
The interesting thing though, a point that John brought up, and it's kind of been in my mind through this whole entire thing, is that if his name was George Pope at Utah State and he had the same resume, he wouldn't even been on the 4th, 5th, 6th tier, right?
No, he wouldn't have. But maybe it's time for us to go back to a homegrown coach, because Hall had the unfortunate situation of having the man who coached him and who he replaced.
Well, and people turned on him and too.
And living. He was living and he was at every game.
Mm-hmm. Living in town, in a building named for him.
At every game.
Having been forced out.
And he was at every game.
Watching at every game.
And would actively run Joe Hall down to whoever would listen.
Anybody on the radio that would talk to him. He would talk about the mistakes that were made in the game.
Yes.
And Joe Hall survived the whole thing.
Yep.
But in the end, people wanted Hall gone.
Which goes back to the fact that Cal knew. He's the one who told us. It was a 10-year job.
It is a 10-year job now.
He stayed 15. In the article that came out, he says he wishes he'd gone in 2019. Does that, people are all upset like that really hurt? That don't hurt me.
No.
Because he knew.
You know what
he knew? The thing of it is, his ego, when UCLA didn't match $86 million over 10 years, he said, thank you, I'll stay where I am.
You know what hurt me?
And that's what you get.
You know what hurt me? Mitch Barnhart. I don't begrudge him the money. I begrudge him a lifetime contract with the, like, I'm retirement job for another $1 million to sit on his ass on East Main Street.
Coach Emeritus.
Yes, on East Main Street. And I get $1 million to still go give 2 speeches a year to a bunch of people who don't like me. So that means he wouldn't have gotten called, and he'd have still been making $1 million to go see Brad coach. Go see his daughter. The scientist.
So speaking of the son's coaching, that was one of the reasons I think they didn't call Pearl either, because
Oh, well, there's an article out there that Bruce Pearl's deal is that he wants 2-year leeway at the end of his time when he's ready to go.
Yep.
To allow a transition period so his son Steven can take over the program wherever he is.
Nope.
Auburn's not going to say yes to that. We sure as hell aren't going
to
say yes.
No, and here's the thing.
Nobody wants
it. It's also illegal in the state of Kentucky, in the Commonwealth.
Oh, is it really? Nepotism.
Yeah. But it's one of the reasons Tubby listened and took the job in Minnesota.
Right, because he wanted Saul on
Cal wanted to bring Brad on the staff.
And he couldn't.
He went to Arkansas and he did.
Yep.
Tubby went to Minnesota and put them on the staff.
Yep.
Like, it is what it is. Was he on my list? No. Does it feel like we're only hiring from the choir at the Baptist convention? Yes, it does. Because we're only finding teetotalers who are interested in doing the job we want. Now, did I freak out about it when I woke up on Friday morning? Yes, I did.
You too?
Did I immediately tell somebody in this house, I expect your resignation as athletic director on my desk before the end of the business today? Because in my opinion, that's before I found out you paid him $5.5 million. You could have gotten Mark Pope when your head coach is hit by a meteor or a dump truck the night before Big Blue Madness for $2 million.
Yes, sir.
Probably could have done all that.
I like him. He's an alum. I'll give him 3.
That dude is waiting on you to call him up. He probably would have done it for free.
Yes.
Just as a mitzvah. I don't know if his religion has a mitzvah, but he would have done it and they would have translated it for him. You could have done that for free.
Yes.
There's no way you should have paid him $5.5 million.
You know.
It's as though you have a contract on your table.
Yes.
And you've taken Jay Wright. No. Brad Stevens. No.
We know it wasn't Danny Hurley's number.
Well, and then you go to, then you decide we're going to do Scott Drew. No. Danny Hurley. No. Billy Donovan. Then you white out that so nobody knows you really thought about it. And
yes,
then the next thing you do is
preach, John,
hand this to Mark Pope, and he's like, what's all these names? Oh, don't worry about it.
What's
this
number?
This is where you need to sign. 5.5 years, that's where your signature goes.
And here's your buyout.
Right. Yeah, it's.
I mean,
and again,
if it, and I hope it does not.
Hope it succeeds. I really do.
I will say, I did not watch a lot of BYU. I did bet on BYU this year. They did well when I did so.
They were ranked ahead of Kentucky at the end of the season.
KenPom, they have good numbers. KenPom doesn't win championships, but when you start to look at the offense, he embraces analytics. He embraces a modern offense. He embraces. I don't watch the NBA, but apparently in the NBA, they're playing
5 out.
Mm-hmm. They're playing 5 outs. They're playing 3 on one side of the floor on the lane and 2 on the other.
That's why Zach Edey ain't gonna get drafted in the first round.
There's knobs of screens. There's down cuts. There's back doors. There's all that stuff. And when you watch some of the videos of that offense, people who know basketball, whom I trust, say this really is, it's a very modern style. He's embraced all that stuff. He does employ some defensive turn you over pressure you kind of tactics. I'm not going to say press because you don't want to get your hopes up because it's not going to happen, but everybody's going to think it's going to happen.
Nobody pressing no more.
Happen because you can't do that. Athletes are
everywhere. You cannot press anybody.
That's correct. So I hope it goes well. I felt better about it as time went on. And in the end, I told myself, whoever they hire, from the beginning, I told myself, whoever they hire, I'm going to be on board. Were some of these people milquetoast Waco? No, that was not my choice. That man's a stick in the mud. Boring.
Yes.
He was
Tubby 2.0.
Was a head coach that's flipping the bird at fans and pushing opposing players on the court? That's not my fan either. Because in some ways, I think you're buying a coach who we all know wants to be the guy that revives the New York Knicks. He's not going to be here long, but if you brought him and he won something, I'm good with that. I'll take it.
Yep.
But I think...
Because a man can coach.
He can coach, definitely.
As we
and
know.
He coaches in this modern world where there is a mix.
Yep.
I didn't believe one... John Calipari is much more like Rick Pitino than either of them wishes to believe. If their mouth is moving, they're lying.
Yeah.
And he said we're gonna get older and all that stuff. That was a lie.
Well, I'm gonna tell. Speaking of Pitino, this has brought everything. Everything full circle, right?
Pitino's OG in this. I mean,
he's back, baby.
When he said that he would cut UK an NIL check,
that's a lie.
No, I don't think so.
I think it's illegal.
I mean, it's not illegal.
I think it's against the rules. I think a coach is sitting school.
He's got a foundation. He could have, trust me, that man's got money. He could have funneled that.
Oh, just make Joanne do
you
it.
You mean he has a shell corporation that can launder money?
Yes,
that's
sir.
The word you're avoiding. That's,
it's legal.
Launder.
It's legal.
He's right out of that horse.
I'm not saying it's not illegal.
Right out of that horse money.
I'm saying it's...
That horse lost him a lot of money. He writes off a loss from that horse. Mm-hmm. Cut that out of that horse foundation.
Cut that check.
I lost another $500,000.
But tell me, you can't tell me he's not, he's back. He's come full circle.
He's come full circle.
So Cal's video was very sweet, and I think he then...
It was heartfelt.
Because I personally, my opinion is that Cal played chicken, thought he had a chance. There's conversation.
He got run over by the car.
Out there that he thought he could put enough pressure on Barnhart that Barnhart would be forced out. They could bring in Dwayne Peavy and he and Dwayne could fix it. When it didn't happen, there's widely known that there was a Monday afternoon conversation with athletics officials to whom Cal said, how do we fix this? And they told him,
there ain't no fixing it.
Because
you get out. That's how we fix it.
On Friday night,
please
when
leave.
When you entered into conversations
about a job,
you
didn't tell us.
You violated your contract, which means we're off the hook for $38 million and we're going to happily keep our money and you can go home. Wherever your home's going to be.
Well, you know, and according to the Atlantic article, which I send in PDFs wherever I could read it.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Somebody's learning.
I am, sir. I'm trying.
He's librarian real
I'm
good.
I'm a librarian. But, you know, when an article, and I could see Calipari doing it because that's how he is. He's a very personal relationship. Then he got called in. He's having a couple of drinks, a nice bottle of Chianti, chilling out with his old boy, some chicken tenders.
Okay, they said it was in the hotel room. I don't want to know if that's what he's doing in the hotel room. Okay. Bringing some rich man up there and having some Chianti.
Okay, but you know what?
Having some tendies.
That's some nug nugs.
It was Tyson. Out of state.
Sir, it was Tyson.
With his dino bites?
Yeah, dino bites.
Big that chicken money. Big chicken.
But so, you know, and it started out that, and then it says, well, what about you? So we know Rick's personal relationships. He's like, okay, you know what? I got a friend down there who's going to take care of me. He's going to run interference. Why not talk to him about it?
Yeah.
And he probably slipped his mind, I should call Mitch and just at least tell him. Bullshit. I want to have the I'm trying to be polite, John. It is the Lord's Day, and I'm trying to be polite, sir. It's the only time you will catch
this
me being
polite.
This is
the Pope's Day, yo.
The Pope's Day. Yes, I'm John. No, John, you're right. It was I'm bullshit, but... I like to see this look on your face. I'm going to say it again. He forgot.
He slipped his mind
to call his boss.
He's having too much fun.
That's right. He was eating them
tendies.
And tendies.
I was on vacation in my hotel room out of town, and I didn't think once, oh, I should probably call him on a Friday night. I had so much Chianti and Dino Nuggets that my friend brought and air fried in my hotel room. We just had such a wild night. I totally forgot to call. You mean I didn't call? I totally thought I called. Did you check your voicemail? I really think I called.
Good job, Sean. you got that right on. You hit that button.
I did. I pushed the hell out of that button, John.
That is bullshit. Absolute bullshit.
But the bottom line is Patino's back in, baby.
Yeah, he will never coach here again, but he's back.
No.
Let me tell you, that was on the list. And there were people that were slowly starting to support it.
I was on board.
You know,
I want names. I have. Turn yourselves in now.
If I have said, you know, people will listen to us for a while, I didn't think Cal could coach. I didn't really care for Rick Pitino's personality, but he can coach.
Did you ever go to Bravo Pitino's when it was here?
No.
You never went?
I went to Lex Italia.
Oh, you did go.
I did.
I went to Lex Italia.
Ah, what was that his too?
No.
Oh.
That was the old style, like original Italian restaurant in Lexington and Garden Side.
That's where he went.
Oh.
That's where he went until he got the idea. And here's the thing about Lex Italia back in the day. You didn't go in there, you didn't stare at no faces.
Really?
Because them jokers was on the evening news.
Really?
From like New York and all that stuff. You're like, kidding. Oh, I know that face. Oh, shit.
That was over in Garden Side?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's where people... don't talk about it.
Yes, exactly.
Some people can get on the radio and talk about it.
It was good.
So that's right. I forgot you did go to Bravo Patino's. Oh, yes. How was it?
It was pasta.
Okay.
It was pasta in Victorian Square.
And that's my other thing, too. I rarely pay for Italian food out unless I'm going to a high-end place because I can make that shit myself in my own kitchen. Yeah.
Isn't it true that the chef that Rick brought in for Bravo is now at Giuseppe's?
I believe so.
I've always been told that, and I think that's true.
Because he liked Lexington. He liked Lexington and didn't want to leave.
But Rick brought him here, paid him money, set him up. The thing went under because nobody, like, everybody went because it's Rick and people.
I was
one of those people.
The only time it was open was basketball season. Yes. Because if you went in there during the summer, it was
nobody
a
Nobody bought it. That's why Victoria Swears.
I just remember the awning, that blue and white awning or whatever.
And his big old name on it.
Yeah, I never went.
Yeah, because he wasn't happy with the Italian he could get here.
Right.
So he brought in his homeboy.
The food.
Well, John, that's another discussion we'll have.
So what happened to Lex Italia?
It just closed.
We don't talk about it.
We won't talk about it on this. You know, this is for that podcast that you can't get anybody to do about the history of Lexington.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do that because ain't nobody dying today.
Man.
So ironically, you talk about time as a flat circle. Mm. And you have the great good drunk. Well, we now find ourselves 3 weeks, I would never have thought this 10 days ago, but we find ourselves now when after Rick did his little video congratulating Mark Pope and what a great teammate he was and how he fully believed, and then he does his Alan Cutler interview.
I hadn't listened to Alan Cutler in years, and I went and listened to that because he was on there.
I did too.
Everybody was on that damn show that afternoon.
It was very good. It was all a blast from the past. So they sit there, they go through it, and then Rick says, if he needs NIL money, I'll write the check. I don't believe that. I think it could be against the rules, but
there are no rules anymore, John.
In the NCAA, but coaches can't give money to their NIL. The question
it's not given to his NIL.
But
it's
given to somebody else.
Is the wording to your school's NIL or to a school's NIL?
I think it's your school's.
So as somebody who works in fundraising, I can tell you that it used to be, I think that since the rule has changed possibly, but a coach could not give to their own fund.
Yep.
Right.
Well, if that's the case,
but
I am a witness, so they need to be soaking him dry.
So I think that rule has changed, but it used to be that you could not give to your own fund. I would assume that it's the same way but as a coach, you could have given to somebody else's fund at EK at the school or another school. It wouldn't matter.
If your kid went somewhere, you could give a donation.
And here's the thing. It's your money. So how are they going to control that?
Well, that's a whole nother set.
I mean, like you were joking earlier about money laundering. I set up a foundation, which I have very loose control to. Uh-huh.
Set up a foundation. Yeah, yeah. You just set up a shell corporation in Delaware through an LLC.
And just do it. And then there's the money.
I thought that was interesting. Rick said it, but 10 days ago.
And Rick meant
it. I never thought.
And Travis Ford also said he was going to send money.
Situation.
And he ain't catching nowhere.
No.
Where?
Right now.
If you told me you're looking for somebody to come back to UK to do the Y this year, there would be a better chance that Rick Pitino does it than John Calipari.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where we are now. Okay. Rick did that video from behind his desk at St. John's.
In his red Storm.
He thinks he's the godfather.
Well,
he's the godfather of Mark Pope and this program. And that has to gall Cal.
Oh, no, it always did. They hate each other.
Well, but you can't tell me that Cal doesn't. He may be walking his dog at the inopportune times and everybody's sitting out there. And he may be doing that again today when they announce the coach. But he's not stupid. The man has been a master tactician when it comes to all this. Until the last couple of years when he said things he shouldn't have said that caused people to turn on him. People who were loyal supporters turned on him. He said things that he shouldn't have said in the media. He came down there. That whole interview, that pep rally, it was like, I told somebody, I'm like, it's like I've watched a movie 10 times for 15 years.
It's the same movie.
It debuts in another country. And I see these people going through it the whole time, and I'm like, oh, you have no idea. He's going to tell that stupid story about how his team beat you instead of the UMass story. That's our UMass story. And then he's going to go through this, and he's like, oh, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And I'm like, those people don't have any idea.
No.
And then when you want him to do the one thing that all your coaches did that was a rite of passage,
he runs.
Indoctrinates them, he literally grabs onto the railing, pulls himself down past his new boss saying, I got to go say hello to these coaches. And then once it's done, he's miraculously wondering what's next, and I've got free time now.
I bet you he won't do it again. I bet you Nolan Richardson said, don't you ever do that again. You have to do it at least once.
Nolan was not there.
Nolan wasn't there. He had to call. Well, no, they hate Nolan there. And they're big boosters.
They got, he got back.
He got back in. He got back in.
He got back in, but I don't think all the big money boosters are
down with him. They're not on board with him.
But no.
I do think
there's a myriad of things, too, which is for talking bourbon.
That's true, too.
Well, we ain't going there.
Rick thinks he... If you're Cal, your nemesis has now come back in. His people are in charge of the place you just left. All this sentiment has poured out against you. What he, I'm sure, perceives against you. The $4 million comes in. Then he's like, where was that when I was there? And the national people are eating all this up because they don't have any idea what they're talking about, because they aren't buried in the minutia of it, just like I'm not buried in the minutia of what's wrong with the Washington Bullets or Wizards or whatever the hell they're called now.
They're trying to move. That's the reason. That's what's wrong with them.
Well, that's news Ted to Leon's me. I didn't have any idea.
Coyotes are trying to move, too, to Utah.
They play basketball?
No, they play hockey, but it's the same. It's the same.
NHL.
You know, same poorly. Concept. Right.
But, I mean, that's one of those things. People here, we eat it up. This is what we talk about. This is what everybody discusses. We were somewhere last night, and there were three groups of people,
yep.
And I thought, I'm going to have to punch this dude in the face because he's openly lying.
He was close.
He's openly lying.
What was he? Do tell, dear sir.
Well, this poor woman walked up because they were talking about, it was an area downtown, three blocks from Cal's house, and they talked about how the bartender was talking to us. He's like, well, you know, I mean, I've seen Ellen, and she's always very nice. We're walking in the neighborhood. Cal's been out there, and he's always on the phone, whether he's
walking the dog
on the phone
or
fake phone or not, who knows. But he's like, you know, they're always very friendly. And these two people come up, he mentioned to some of the regulars, this has been we talked about this for weeks, and we didn't think it was going to happen, and here we are. And then this one couple comes up, and she's like, oh, I'm happy. I don't want the 1 through 10 talent. I want the 20 through 45 talent. That's who we need to build a basketball team around. And this guy's like, you realize you just said you want worse players. And the two of them argue back and forth, and this guy's like, well, you're not going to get good players with Mark Pope. And she's like, I don't want good players. I want players that stick around. And that's what people said they wanted. They wanted players that they got to know.
You know
they
what?
Wanted players that stayed for years.
Point
they
of order, sir.
A coach that could do X's and O's.
Point
and
of order.
Recruits.
They had that with Orlando Tubby Smith, and he ran him out on a rail. You know this. This is true.
Because the ball didn't drop at the right time.
That's right.
And it got to the point where it was consistent.
Yep.
Same thing happened with Cal. But it's one of those things, like this dude, he just kept going on. He's like, well, you know, Mark Pope's not going to win here. It's going to be a huge mistake. And she's like, I'm happy for Pope. I'm glad it's one of us. Like all these talking points. As much as people were entrenched in their different camps, people still are. I think on a day like today, you hope that it goes well. You hope it goes well, but they're going to continue to be conversations like that. And I'm not saying he can't get the top players in the nation. I'm saying he's not going to get the top five players in the nation.
He has a better chance of getting the top players in the nation here because they don't have to sign a pledge that says they're not going to drink or have sex.
There's no chastity agreement.
Like at BYU, right. Facts. Yeah. And that's facts, too.
And he was able to get out-of-state talent signing that.
Yeah,
no
I wouldn't have signed
no drinking, no smoking, no sex, no nothing.
And the thing
not
that
today,
is, I think Jim McMahon signed that and said, no, nah, I don't care.
No, because he did whatever he did.
LaMelle Edwards looked the other way with his one good eye.
Yeah, that's right, because he said, this man's taking me to national championship or trying, so I'm going to let him do what he wants to do.
I think the bottom line it comes down to, I think everybody at this table, and I believe on the text machine, we want it to succeed.
No,
we really do.
I got a building I used to work in that's like probably about 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 from being paid off. I need that check.
There you go.
I will say this. Is your machine recording?
It is.
Okay. If this does not go well, you talked about bad feelings, hurt feelings, all that stuff.
Yep.
If this does not go well, God forbid, all the heat goes back on Mitch Barnhart.
Oh. If
now,
he's still here.
My opinion is he will not be here.
No.
Because that man, I do not believe that man will be in his same role in 3 years. I just don't.
I'm going to say.
Unless this thing goes bad quickly, then he will be forced to make a change. He'll hire another coach. But I really don't believe he will. I think he is out in 2 to 3 years. I keep thinking 2 to 3, 3 to 4.
I'm going to say 2.
Because he wants to retire. He's done what he can. He is in a position now where I don't think he wants to hire somebody knowing he's on the way out in the next 18 months. And I'm saying that from football or basketball. So I really believe he dodged a bullet because we were a whiskers width away from replacing the men's basketball coach, the women's basketball coach, and the football coach.
In a space of 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. it came really close.
Real close.
And I think that he, I don't believe he wants to be in a position where he hires somebody and then he pieces out. So, in my opinion, he will not be here for the next hire. This is his last major hire on his watch. If it goes poorly, God forbid, it will all go back on Barnhart. I don't think any of the blame, I don't think fans will blame Mark Pope
because
he is one of the former players and all that. They'll all blame Barnhart because they'll go back to the fact that you, his personal beliefs, I also never thought that I would be at a point where I would quote Billy Gillespie.
Oh, my God.
But here I
am. Are you drunk, sir?
Here I am. Not yet, but here I am. This is not the University of Mitch Barnhart. Despite the fact that he has operated this institution in his own image, like someone else, in his own image, he has continued to make these choices, and he himself said he X'd off names of this list for reasons they would not pursue them. These coaches did not get calls. If it goes tits up, and I hope it does not, I hope it is, I hope success.
Success.
But if it does not, it will all go back on Barnhart. Barnhart will likely not be here. His legacy will be the one that gets all the heat. I don't think Pope gets it. Even if it's on, I don't think he gets it.
So,
I think he'll, people will say he was in over his head. He was given the job too quick. That's my guess. But it all goes back to Barnhart because Barnhart eliminated quality choices because of his own personal moral beliefs. And he went after the other members of his choir. And that's, in the end, what limited what we thought would be a larger search, a wider net, down to one or two people that we are where we are.
We are where we are, but I think you may be falling into the fallacy that UK fans happen fall into. Not everybody wants to be here.
Oh, no.
The
no,
one true absolutely. Thing Calipari says, this ain't for everybody. Bruce Pearl thinks it's for him, but when he realizes how much people will be up his ass in his business, mm-hmm. he would be running out the door.
Well,
Sean Miller is the same way.
Thing, this isn't for everybody. I can't hide you. Those are things that, and trust me, of a laundry, of a litany of Calisms that I'm not looking
those
forward
to. Those are true good ones.
I'm happy mm-hmm. to see yeah. go
those
away.
Those are truths.
The man's not wrong. He's not stupid. He was not stupid. He just managed personal relationships poorly toward the end. He was 1,000% right. Now, in the end, he didn't want to be measured by the same yardstick that he used to measure his players, but that's neither here nor there. It's not for everybody. He can't hide you here. It's a 10-year job. All those things were true, and he violated every one of them.
Oh, no, because his ego got in the way.
And they're going to be true in 10 years. So, they'll be true in 15 years.
So, one more thing, Gary.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
You mentioned Mitch in 2 years. I suspect that's right, and it's not for the reason you think. I think the reason of 2 years is that the person who's been protecting his backside has created his finished his fundraising and is making his plans to get out.
Hmm. Oh, the big campaign.
Yes, the big campaign's done.
Yes.
Going back to
well,
Alabama.
I will also say...
He never sold that house.
With a banjo on his knee.
There is a... I will also say...
That bank account.
And we're not going to go down this rabbit hole if you won't go down to social medias and look at it, but there is an article that dropped... That is bad.
I don't think it has anything to do with this.
Doesn't have to do with this, but it...
No, there are people who say that that's why the hire was made at the timing that it was made, because this article dropped. But there are...
He won't be here long for that.
There are federal issues that are going to question the activities of the athletic
some
department.
There's some bad stuff in that article.
If true, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. There were allegations against the award-winning national championship...
The soccer
cheerleading coach.
Oh, the cheerleading, yeah. And
there wasn't even a hearing on that.
That program was out the door. That program's in a toilet.
And the man was out the door in a week.
Yeah, it was. And then the allegations are in this article are way worse. Or way worse than
assistant.
Way worse.
Yeah, because they were just partying with the cheerleaders.
Yeah. But
well, and the worst thing is that I'm not.
Well, we're not going to go down
that
road.
We'll talk about that off air. Sorry, folks. You should be here for the after show.
So it is what it is. Where we are, where we are, and we're going to see where it goes. So yeah, we really really did take up most of the show. So
we knew this was coming.
Yeah, that's where I was with it.
I will.
I'm okay with it.
Sean mentioned it was nice out. What is the temperature?
It was my car said 83, but it's probably 70.
75, 76, something like that.
Felt like the 90s today.
The 90s called. They want their coach back.
Speaking of the 90s, real quick, very quickly, I don't want to delve into all the logistics of this, but it was a somebody died this week. It was a prominent sports figure.
Huh.
Controversial.
Every beard in a white Bronco.
Yes. But, you know, was a poignant snapshot in history.
Oh, yeah.
And so my question to you all, and we talked a little bit about this on GBS, and it was just funny to hear Lauren and Sarah, who are much younger than I am, but do you remember where you were?
Yes.
With the Bronco and the verdict?
Yes.
Where were you?
The Bronco, I was in my living room at the first my first marriage house.
On Wabash, off of Nicholasville Road.
And I said, what is this? Because we'd heard about it at work. And uh-huh. There he is driving down the street. Because I think I turned on, because I was interested in the NBA at that time, and I turned on the championship game, and then they cut into it to do that.
Yeah.
And then when the...
Didn't Marv Albert narrate both the game and the chase?
It was a split feed.
Yeah.
It was a split feed.
I remember that. There was a split feed and he was talking about both. Yeah. Both like he would go from the play to the chase.
Yep.
So and then the verdict. I was in Young Library. I mean, no, we were still in King.
No, Young wasn't.
I was in King Library. And I heard that, and then I just kind of walked across campus to mind my own business and took a route, and came back and saw a friend of mine and checked in on her how she was doing, and she was heartbroken.
Oh, okay.
So I got both of those nailed.
Yeah. And again, a poignant snapshot in history and time, right?
And I purposely walked by the student center, and that was an interesting...
Well, I'm gonna speak to that.
That was interesting.
I'm going to speak to that one.
So the verdict, I remember I was in Greg Page Apartments.
Mm. Were you sober?
Oh, yeah.
Was your roommate thrown up on the carpet?
I do remember that.
No, he threw up in a bathroom and then put it on the walls.
Right.
And I remember that, I remember it was announced on TV, and it was, I don't remember the month, but I know it was warmish.
It was spring.
It was toward the end of the semester.
Yeah.
Because like people had their doors open
April,
and stuff.
May, yeah.
And you could hear people screaming and shouting. And and you could hear everyone had watched it. It was one of those things where the world stopped.
Yeah.
Everybody watched it. There was nothing else going on.
Really.
And then there was a lot of reaction. And you could feel, even there, without being in the room with people or in the building with people, you could feel just how many people were enraptured by that, watched the verdict, and then reacted immediately. In a world before Twitter.
Yeah, and social media and all that.
You could hear the reaction.
Yeah. Literally, you heard it.
Yeah.
Easily.
So I don't remember where I was during that. And maybe I wouldn't have been watching the NBA, so I probably didn't even see it live. I probably saw it in the news at some point or whatever. I mean, you know, it was everywhere.
Because that would have been June, right?
No, it was later in the summer.
It was April.
April.
Well, the chase. Yeah, was probably in June, something like that. Yeah. So the verdict, it's funny that you say the student center, Sean, because I was walking through the student center, and I was, you remember the old part of the student center that had that theater?
Yep.
You remember that theater?
Yep.
And I stopped by.
Worsham Theater.
I stopped by that theater and stood in the doorway because that theater was packed.
Uh-huh.
And I remember they were showing it, and they read the verdict, and obviously it was not guilty. And I just remember the whole theater going up in cheers, and I was going somewhere, and I had just stopped because, you know.
It was on.
And then I just left, mind my business, and left. But I do remember people were very excited in that theater. Very excited. Yes.
Well, they were. What I remember is, I won't say people were excited. People were very vocal.
But yeah, they were vocal.
It was demonstrative.
Yeah. Well,
it was very demonstrative. Shouts, cheers, cries, all that.
Yeah.
Like
good,
bad, everything.
Yeah.
It was, people were very demonstrative.
Yeah.
Because that's the way that today everybody goes to Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And they post all that stuff there, and it's much quieter.
But you're,
people walked out their apartments, and they were screaming and yelling. Mm-hmm.
And
all that.
That's the way it was in that theater. Like, people were hooting and hollering, and because you went over to the student center.
Yeah. I was just walking around campus. Yeah. I still walk around campus just to get the tenor of what's
going
on.
But it really was interesting because campus stopped.
It stopped.
Like, it literally stopped. It really honestly did. And, John, you're right. Like, the whole world kind of stopped.
No, it stopped.
When that verdict was announced.
Definitely the United States. Because it was one of those things that early on, I mean, it was called the trial of the century for a reason.
Right.
Because
it was.
It was.
There are people that to this day, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Like, yeah.
Seinfeld did things about
it. Oh, there's parodies out the yin-yang.
But it's parodies. But it's Jackie Childs.
Jackie Childs.
It's entire characters. It's all that. Cato Kaelin, that old woman was on TV the other day, and I was like, lady,
you
don't
what?
Look good.
And he gets an invite to the fucking Derby party
every year.
That's another issue. Anita Madden, what's left of that crowd, needs to update that list. Because Travis Tritt and his quarters are not working anymore. Belle Biv DeVoe.
You know, Travis doesn't sing that song in concert anymore. You know why?
Why?
Because people are throwing quarters at him on the stage.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's rude.
Yeah.
Because that's a good
don't
song.
Don't ask for quarters if you don't want quarters.
Here's a quarter. Call someone who cares.
He should be throwing them at the people, right? Because here's a quarter. You should call someone.
He ain't got that much money.
That's a good song, too. But, yeah, I just wanted to ask that because, his passing, it happened, and it just is. It's one of those snapshots in history, and it's a where were you moment
for people our age. The only other time I remember campus stopping that hard was 9/11.
Yes. Yeah.
Campus literally just screeched to a halt.
I remember exactly. I was in class. I do remember that distinctly. I was actually in a Russian history class with Daniel
Roland.
Yeah, with Dr. Roland, and somebody come in and said that, and then we went on with class. Mm-hmm. And then I remember going back to POT and getting on the 17th floor, and then it was just like that's all.
And then the Oklahoma City bombing came close, but campus didn't stop.
Campus didn't stop, yeah.
But no, it stopped because I was in a meeting. We were designing another. Actually, we were designing when we would change the library director from a director to a dean.
Huh.
And I was in that meeting, and we came out, and the first plane hit. And then we just stopped that day.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, everybody was just hanging out. Yeah. And
but that OJ verdict, I do remember campus just stopped. Stopped. Yes. Everybody was somewhere where a TV was.
Yep. And some of the, some of the old heads remember, like older people says, probably last time he did this was the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
This is when campus just kind of stopped. The city just stopped.
Just stopped. Everything just stopped and everybody was on the TV because, and I don't think it would do that nowadays because of social media, because of phones, because of Twitter.
You can walk around with
it
still.
You're just walking around, you're whatever.
Although it did kind of stop when that young lady got blown across campus during the tornado.
Okay. So I got to talk about that real quick. I'm sorry. I got to talk about that real quick.
John's looking askance.
I'm sorry, John. I'm putting my tinfoil hat because I never believe videos like that ever. Anymore on the internet because 9 times out of 10 they're staged, they're faked, whatever. I got a lot of questions about this.
And here's the thing, I'm gonna tell you it was true because I was downstairs in the processing room, looks out into the walkway, and about that same time, a young lady's umbrella folded up and she turned her back to try to close it. Mm-hmm. She literally could not move to get under shelter.
So the bottom line is, that area around POT, everybody who's been on campus long enough knows that is a wind tunnel of the century.
Yes.
It could be dead still everywhere else, and there's still wind whipping up there, right? Just blowing.
Yep.
My question was, why would she be, and yes, apparently the class that she was going to, if you had one absence, you would fail or something such.
No. Carrie. I asked the same thing through that whole
life. There were areas you could have run into POT. You could have run into the classroom building.
Carrie, I saw students for that whole 30 minutes.
Why?
They're not us.
Why?
They're not us. That's all I could say. They were walking to class for that whole 30-minute period.
I can't.
Shit you not.
I can't.
No. I know you can't because we are adults with sense. But I shit you not, there were... We sat there at the window and watched them walk to fucking class in that mess.
I can't.
And I wouldn't have gone to class if I'd seen the weather report and got up, looked at the window and said, not today, Satan.
Thank you.
But they don't think that way these days.
That's so weird to me.
It is weird.
That's so weird.
But it is true. It did happen because I saw students by the tens walking to class in that shit.
I can't.
And I asked the same questions.
I would have known that it was going to rain 2 days before that and said, I ain't going then.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I would have pulled the plug when the forecast looked questionable.
And he's talking about a tornado at 10 o'clock or whatever it was. No. I'm not going out today.
No. Right.
That was on Tuesday they started telling us about that. Mm-hmm. The idea that, first of all, when I first saw the video, I was like, well, that's just Wednesday. Because that is a wind tunnel, most poorly designed place on Earth.
Yep.
For whatever reason, nobody's fixed it.
The second one is working up the Young Library because the wind comes off that hill.
Well, that's the homeowner's revenge right there. Yeah. But anyway.
The ghost of homeowners.
That's what you get. It's the ghost of
tearing all them homes down, yeah.
That's, well, you're going to bail me out and bulldoze me down. I'm going to haunt you good. But it's one of those things that I just, today's youth are maligned in many ways.
That
it shows fortitude that I would not necessarily have mirrored.
Excuse me, sir. I'm gonna fortitude my ass. Stupidity. It shows a lack of common sense and stupidity.
Stupidity.
Critical thinking.
Back in our day, we'd just be like, nah. Oh,
and your professor would have said, that's cool.
There's a cloud. Nah, I ain't going to class. No. It might rain.
I'm gonna sit here and drink this beer.
That's right.
And that's the only reason. That's the only reason we got off campus early. And we were all talking about when they closed us at 12:30.
And didn't do nothing.
She did a solid. She did. Y'all.
So if I find it, I'm going to give her a couple hundred bucks. Here you go. Thank you for your service.
Do you remember, speaking of drinking on campus, do you remember that bar that used to be across from the law school?
Yes.
What was that place called?
I can't remember the name.
That place was awesome. They had excellent pitcher specials, and they had good food, too.
Oh, yeah, it was a...
talking about Cajun Kitchen. We've done this before.
No.
It was a Cajun-type restaurant. It was across from the law school.
No, it was across... It was kind of across the street from the law school.
It was. There was houses across from the law school.
Okay, maybe it was a little further down, then.
It was that downstairs stuff.
All right. Like, well, anyway.
Yeah, because the apartments were on top of it.
Yeah, the apartments were on top of it.
And it was three doors up from George's.
And the Pizza Hut was...
No, but it wasn't Cajun Kitchen. It was called something different.
But it was several different things, but Cajun Kitchen.
It's that same area.
And Cajun Kitchen was good.
It was good. It was.
And I served Gator Bites that year. We was going to beat Steve Spurrier.
Yeah, we did.
We did not.
We did not.
Yeah, I've been drunk, and I was drunk in that place.
All right. Well, let's talk about the bourbon we've been drinking on.
It's been very good.
Yeah, it has been. This is a John pick.
Hello, John.
And we weren't blinded. It's just kind of been on the table. This is a Kirkland's Signature. What is it?
It's Kirkland's Bottled in Bond Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. They've changed it now. It tells you that it's by Barton's One, the 1792. Mm. They used to not tell you that right off, uh-huh. Masters Distillers. John thinks he bought this in the fall. It's actually a very good thing. I like it. It's very tasty.
Yeah, it is pretty good. It's not hot.
No, as Carrie said, when I took my first sip, I had to bourbon lean. I was leaning all up in this bitch. It was so good.
I liked it. But no, it was good. It wasn't too hot. It was a little sweet.
Yes.
I thought it had a nice finish. It definitely had, it wasn't thin. Mm-mm. So I really think it's everything that you would want in a decent kind of, I wouldn't even say bottom shelf, but mid-tier.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think, have I had I don't think I've had a bad 1792. I've had some I've liked more than others, mm-hmm. but I've not had a bad one that made me want to throw the bottle out.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is definitely very good.
Yeah. What do you think of it?
I thought it was excellent. I've not had a bad one from their collection. Some I've had were better than others, as Sean points out. To me, this is an excellent example of a bourbon that I probably paid $20 for, I'm guessing. 2023, something like that.
Yeah, it's from Costco.
Costco's products are amazing. Sometimes they limit you to one bottle per purchase. Sometimes they don't. The spring and fall, they typically have those out. Definitely grab one. When you see them, grab two if they'll let you. It, to me, this is the perfect example. It has a great nose, full-bodied. The color's good. The finish is nice. There's a sweet caramel. There's a caramel nose. There's a good full body. It's warm but not hot at 100 proof. But the finish is, you get oak, caramel. There's a sweetness, vanilla.
Subtle notes.
I don't get cherries, but...
A subtle note of candied fruits and honey.
I can see honey.
That's sweetness, yeah. I can see the honey.
I don't get spice, but
I get a little spice.
Yeah.
Some people call heat spice, and if that's the case, then I could see that.
Yeah.
To me, honey I could get. I don't get...
That was good, though.
It's very good.
And in fact, it was a liter and not a 750.
Well, they don't skimp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's a nice bottle, especially for $20, $25, something like that. Yeah, that's a good buy for sure.
Good buy.
I mean, that's one of those that, you know, could be a, you could do a mixer, you could just drink it straight. I mean, I think you got choices on that one.
Speaking of mixers, I've taken to, I forgot which one it is, for drinking my bourbons now, was a little splash of L81.
Oh, really?
Or Sprite.
Uh-huh.
Especially,
I could give it a little effervescence.
This is good sipping, but I suspect this would just kind of blossom with a little L81 mm-hmm. or a Sprite.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You'd probably drink this all night long.
Be interesting.
And wake up late for work.
There you go.
Get your bourbon spritzer on.
And see a cloud in the sky and say, I ain't going to work today.
Son,
Might rain.
I say it all the time.
Might rain. All right. End of the show shout outs. Anybody got them? Sean?
I'm going to shout out Rod. I thought he was going to show up today.
Yeah. I thought he might.
This is, you know, this is his wheelhouse.
Right.
We even gave props to his man, Richard J. Patino.
Right.
So anyway, I'm going to shout out Rod. Rod, bro, come on back. Come hang out for an hour and a half one Sunday.
Yeah.
Put on a wig and a fake nose and come down to town.
We can get a voice modulator. Yeah. We got you, bro.
This is probably the most positive things that I would have said about Patino was today.
Yeah.
This is the Venn diagram of positivity for
me. Here's the thing,
Rick.
We ain't never had to, we fired Billy Clyde.
Yeah.
But since I've been following,
because we finally caught him.
Yeah, caught him drinking and being naked.
Well, no, I'm saying he was driving around New Circle Road and we finally caught him.
Okay,
the most famous fake phone call in Kentucky basketball
Alan Cutler
history.
The thing that, because Patino got Alan Cutler got that scoop from Patino,
uh-huh.
and all I can remember was Alan Cutler chasing him through the Crab Center, saying, "We gonna do this? I can do this all day long, Billy."
And he's like, "Really, Billy? We're going to do this? I can run all day long, Billy."
And
Billy, the whole time on this alleged phone call, "You need to get in shape. You need to get in shape. Dude, you are drunk as hell, okay?"
So that is a snapshot in Kentucky basketball history. It really, truly is.
But that's the juxtaposition. The previous coach was dismissed when he drove around New Circle Road thinking, if they can't find me, they can't fire me.
Oh, they can fire you. Just put an APB out on your ass.
Then when they get there, as though he thought the police department wasn't Kentucky
didn't know where he was, yeah.
So they're like, "Well, there's an idiot driving the wrong way around New Circle." But anyway, so then when he gets
appears
there,
to be drunk.
And then he gets there and he walks in fake phone calling and Alan Cutler's screaming and he's running through there going, "Billy, I can do this all day long. Oh, you need to get in shape. Blah, 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 blah. Get him out. Close the door. Okay, you don't work here. Nobody cares."
And that poor woman had to slam the door in Alan Cutler's face.
Yes. That woman's a secretary going, "Dude, I know you're going to get fired, but whatever.
I knew before you did."
Yes. Like, I'm not an idiot.
They told me to pack your shit yesterday.
I'm not the idiot here. But, I signed it. And then you juxtapose that with the last vision of Cal you're going to see is him pushing a stroller for his dog down Main Street, Richmond Road, and people going, "You got any comment, Cal?" "Nope." And he's fake phone calling.
"I'm walking my dog.
Come on.
Yep.
And the dog's older, and he needs a stroller, and the dog can't walk the whole way. I'm not saying anything about that, but I'm just saying, Billy's running away from Cutler in cowboy boots, and Cal's pushing a dog stroller down
the road. Now, here's the two difference. Cal's was calculated. He looked out his front window, and he says, "Oh, look, I can get me a little bit more press before I leave here."
His was Billy's was not.
Billy's
was totally organic.
He got caught flat-footed.
Yeah.
Because Billy's just a shitty, shitty tactician.
And you can't run in cowboy boots.
Yeah, you can. Not well. Yeah, you can.
All right.
But...
trust me on this.
Okay, I'll talk to you about that off record.
Now, it is hard to get them back home.
Okay.
You can run with them.
So, John, end of the show shout-outs.
I feel like we've only talked about one thing.
We have.
We knew it was coming.
Yeah, this was what I knew. This was what
I will shout out the people who were smart enough to realize the eclipse was not actually Cal's ego. There were a lot of people who thought that was the case. It was not. That was a different day. I would shout out the Obstinate Son.
I was going to shout them out too.
We went there, had a good time. It was very good food. The bourbon selection is quite interesting. Yeah.
It's new restaurant it was opened by Dexter, who was on this podcast many moons ago. He is of the Merrick Inn family.
Oh yes.
They sold that. It's Merrick Inn's still open, but it's different owners than his family. Anyway, he has a history in the restaurant business, and he is a big bourbon aficionado, and opened Obstinate Sons a month ago or something, I think. But he's showcasing some nice bourbons down there, for sure.
I made the trunk.
Even on a Saturday of Keeneland, mm-hmm. Smaller space than I expected, I will say.
Well, it's because Ritten, this freaking town, is outrageous.
But they made some brilliant design moves for a place that was a carpet store, mm-hmm. That you had to start ground up. Very impressive. Yeah. Nice space. Mm-hmm. Good vibe. Good atmosphere. Food was good. Bar's nice. There's a standing bar that's nice. There's a whole cabinet of Dusties, which, if you're interested, go there. The prices are fair.
Reasonably priced, yeah.
And there's a lot of, you can get as in-depth as you want to, but if you want, the very few places you can go in the world, really, that you can get a pour of something from the 70s, 80s, 60s, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. I had I bought a pour of a 70s
Eagle Rare 101 proof, yeah.
Which I really think may have been what Chad brought to the dinner at Broad's that time, mm-hmm. 100 years ago. And I'm pretty sure that was it. Delicious.
Can I have one more shout out?
Yeah.
If you're ever in the River City of Louisville, there's a... Do you guys like ramen?
Yes.
There's this place called Ramen House.
Ooh.
I highly fucking recommend.
Okay. I love me some ramen.
It was like...
I like ramen better than pho, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, they're kind of similar, but I like pho, but I hate having to cook my own food and construct it, and ramen comes constructed.
I feel like ramen, too. I really like I'm going to pronounce this wrong. It's the pork bone broth.
Yes.
It's tonkatsu.
Yeah, that's the ramen I had. That's the tonkatsu.
Yes.
That's the ramen I had.
Because it's rich. It's not thick, but it's just a rich. It's a very rich broth.
And they make these like bun.
Like a bao bun type of thing?
Yes, with like spicy pork belly. So anyway, get yourself to some Ramen House.
Where is it in Louisville?
It's by one of the old smaller malls. It's off. I'll have to just Google Ramen House Louisville and it'll come up.
Delicious.
There's a movie theater right next to it. So
yeah, I like the ramen noodles better than pho noodles. Yeah, yeah. I'm a bigger fan of ramen.
Well, you know, the whole thing about how pho is they basically just give you a bottle of broth and a bowl of broth.
Right.
And then you make it the way you want.
Yeah, you put the stuff in it or whatever.
So that's fine.
Yeah.
I like a really good pho broth, but
yeah,
a bowl as of broth and a 9-9.
Yes, if I've said it on several times on this show, I don't go out to fix my fucking food.
Yeah,
so it's like quesadillas and fajitas. Not fajitas, quesadillas come assembled. I'm not there to cook my food.
Fair enough.
Food's the same way.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Well,
speaking of, don't forget your taxes.
Yes.
Hey, I got to file mine when I get back.
Don't do it.
File an extension. Keep the government's money.
I was going to shout out Obstinate Sons, too, because it was really good food. It's a nice space. They got great bourbon selection. Even if you're not interested in Dusty's, there's just an overall good bourbon selection.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing. In this day and age, finding a place, somebody who knows how to construct a bourbon list.
And Dexter does.
Yes, and make it fair to everyone.
Well, and what's funny is, John got two old fashions. He got one with Woodford because he hadn't seen like some other options.
It's a skosh overwhelming with the number of choices. They have everything you can think of and some you wouldn't want to try. But I was like, I'll try that. Woodford would never be my go-to. I did.
But then you got one with the...
As I'm sitting there enjoying that one, and it was good, then I saw they had the Rittenhouse Rye. And I was like, I want that next. Ooh. Turned out it was $3 cheaper.
Yeah, it was actually
much better.
And it was better.
Yes,
with the Rittenhouse rye was better. So yeah, the food was good. We just did like the shareables and the small plate stuff. Yeah. We didn't get like entrees, but the portions looked gigantic. And I thought everything in terms of food was pretty reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. Like nothing was like outrageous or whatever. So kind of like a high end gastro pub type of feel. I think it's going to do really well in Chevy Chase in the area that it's in.
Yep.
And you know, Dexter was super. He stopped and talked to us for a couple of minutes, and he was super nice. So, yeah, definitely shout out to them. And I would also like to shout out everyone who has accepted invites to the Derby party.
Did I do that?
No, you didn't. I always just assume you're going to come anyway. But yes, shout out to everybody. It's going to be a good time. Hopefully, we'll have good weather. And I am looking forward to the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. Yes, should be a good time.
Bring your dollar bills, y'all.
Absolutely. Bring your dollar bills, yo. All right. Well, I think we had a good discussion today. A good discussion about the state of UK basketball. Our opinions mean nothing, but you know, here we are.
we're factually inaccurate as a donor to the university.
Oh yes, that is true. That is definitely true.
That looks good.
That looks good. Yeah. That's it, Ron. Yes, we are donors technically.
We miss you, Chad.
We miss you, Chad.
And
miss
Heather. Yeah.
Heather. We missed you as well.
Come back.
And with Rod, we thought you were going to make a surprise guest.
Rod, come on, man.
With the sun out, feeling like the 90s, I thought he and Rick would roll up in that...
In a convertible to Mustang?
Big Red Stang.
I saw a dead man on a red horse in my dreams. I thought it was him.
Oh, my. Well, as always, thank you for listening to us. If you know, you know. If you don't, you probably shouldn't. We will definitely see ya and talk to ya next time. See ya!